So let's take a look at the first verse. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. Part of worship is remembering. Remembering those times when we've connected with God in a remarkable way. It's translated, O Lord Almighty, in the New International Version. King James Version, O King of Hosts, or Lord of Hosts. How was it in the Message Bible? You remember that part. O God of angel armies. O God of angel armies. The Lord of Hosts, what is a host? It's a great group of people. And he's the Lord of that great host. And so it's given that way. When there's this one who's in charge of all the hosts, all the people, then you get the sense of why they, in the New International Version, call it, O Lord Almighty, great in might, over all. Okay? Desiring, the worshiper finds this as part of his experience of God. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. Again, we go back to the Psalms, and you see this time and time again. Psalmist is experiencing that deep, hard hunger for time with God. Third, there is some reflecting that went on as part of preparing the worshiper's heart. And it involves these two things. Remember, a sparrow and a swallow. Let's read verse 3. Even the sparrow has found a home, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. So obviously, he's reflecting on something he saw when he went into the house of God, and being kind of open air, not like our buildings, being open air, he observes something. Here is the swallow. Here is the sparrow that has found a home in the house of God. And I think he's having a moment. It's kind of like, you know, that kinship sometimes that you sense with all God's creation, that's a part of God's creation. You are part of creation. You're here before the Lord. So that's the verse 3. Verse 4, there's some reveling. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. And then a pause. What I'd like to do for our pause is have us take a look at a song. This song is sung by children, so you could think of it this way. It's a song for you, children. The words are going to be in it, so you can sing along, and hopefully we who are adults can help the children sing this song. It doesn't take a long time. We'll sing it through once, and then we'll go through it a second time. So here we go. Oops. Thank you. So it's not too tough a song, right? It's pretty easy to follow along. We'll sing it again. Children, can you show the adults how to sing this now that you've sung it once? I mean, not by yourselves, but just in terms of volume. Do you just let the adults know as they sing that you're in the room, okay? That you're in the room. And when it comes to the end where it says boys and girls, I'm going to recommend we flop that. For adults, especially guys, that's really up there in the range. So if you want to try the part that the girls sing, I'll try to help sing that part. And then if you ladies would lead out on the part that is designated for the boys. So let's sing this again. And again, if you can, let the adults know in the room that you're here by singing the song, please, you can turn the volume up, because the kids did too. Okay, here we go. I think. Can you just back it up to one of those? This is what? Selah, he says. It's frozen up. Okay. Well, let's go then to the next slide, if you can get to the slide. Ha. While you're working on it, to get that unfroze, why don't we take a look at a couple of things about the psalm itself. Psalm 84, and now I'm going to take a look at verse 5. If you turn to verse 5, it says there, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage." You heard the song, where the in the children's song, "Whose strength is in you." Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. Now, here's an interesting thing. What's a pilgrimage? It's a trip of some kind. What kind of trip? There's an objective. What's the objective? A pilgrimage. Generally, it's a spiritual pilgrimage, a trip from some place to another place. Why would you want to do that? To worship. Okay, it's done all the time. People do spiritual pilgrimages. What's the end point? To worship. What's our part in a pilgrimage? Okay. Our part is to get there, to make the trip, to worship. What's God's part? To be there, to show up, to meet with us. What this psalmist is talking about here is anticipating that time of being with God. Now, something that's maybe missed again is that we often think pilgrimage, individual trip. But the focus often historically in the Bible is that it's a trip where people from all around begin to come, and they gather. And they gather for worship. They gather to be with each other. Because when they're gathered together, God is going to be in their midst. Well, that's the point of pilgrimage. And these people, those who are blessed, whose strength is in you, O God, have set their hearts on pilgrimage. Strength in the Lord. Strength found in a relationship with God. Strength that's graced upon us by God. Strength flowing through us because of God. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. This is how our lives are meant to be lived. With the one who cares, the one who provides strength every day, moment by moment, need by need, prayer by prayer, circumstance by circumstance. Notice the effects of finding strength. They are blessed. What do you think of the word when you hear the word blessed? Blessed. Blessed are they whose strength's in you. Happy. Yes? Empowered. Ha! Ah. What was that? Contented. Showered? It's more than enough. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. And the second, I think, thing that you see here is that there's an increased desire for God. They've set their hearts on pilgrimage. They're determined in their lifestyle and in their ways to go and worship. And sometimes this takes kind of a radical transformation of our thoughts. Especially, like we talked about, where worship is thought of as individual and personal and solely inspirational for me, rather than transformative and corporate. It is in the context of being with each other that we often learn more about the mind of God. Somehow, God in these moments taps one person with who's walked this truth, and they speak that truth in such a way that it shouts to the very core of my being, it's true. God, thank you for reminding me of that through so-and-so. That's how it often works. And it's not often thought to be that's how it works. Let me give you an example from a wonderful man named C.S. Lewis. He wrote such beautiful, beautiful things in his life. He was a very gifted man. But he talks about just a short time after this is his reflection, 14 years after becoming a follower of Christ. When I first became a Christian, about 14 years ago, I thought that I could do it on my own by retiring to my rooms and reading theology. I wouldn't go to churches and gospel halls. I disliked very much their hymns, which I considered fifth-rate poems set to sixth-rate music. But I went on and I saw the merit of it. I came up against different people of quite different outlooks and different education. And then gradually, note these words, then gradually my conceit came peeling off. I realized that the hymns, which were just sixth-rate music, were nonetheless sung with devotion and benefit by an old saint in elastic boots in the opposite pew. Then, he says, you realize that you aren't fit to clean those boots. It gets you out of your solitary conceit. Oh boy, could we learn a few things from Lewis' insights there. First, he thought he could go at the Christian life with just reading theology books alone in his room. That's how he was going to be transformed, he thought. He learned later that didn't work. I don't know what you expect from your own experience or how you relate to what Lewis said. Second, the music paled in comparison to some great composers that he was aware of. He was trained classically. Later, though, Lewis was able to get beneath the surface and into the heart of the worshiper, who is not moved by just the aesthetic performance. Oh, but he says, moved by the pulsing love of God. Moved more by that. When he looked at the old saint in elastic boots, who at one time he just simply judged as unsophisticated, he saw someone he was not worthy of, because this old saint's passion and devotion to God connected him or her to the sacred, to God. Solitary conceit, he says, kept him from the gathered people of God. It was solitary because he thought he could do it alone, and conceit because he thought Christian worship, in the way it was offered, was not worthy of his appreciation. But when God stepped in and taught him something new, Lewis was able to see something of invaluable worth in corporate worship. And we would do well to remember it as well. We need to remember that we need each other despite our differences. Worship isn't about the quality of the performance, but the heart of those who worship. And may I say to you at Cherry Grove, you have a great heart. Worship is not about just individual fulfillment, but being a people gathered into the presence of God. Let's take a look at verse 6. Verse 6 reads this. Would you read it with me? As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. Valley of Baca was an interesting, dry, arid place that people on spiritual pilgrimage would have to pass through. Arid enough that people longed for the wells every so often to be able to get to the wells to get to drink. It was desert country, filled with thorns, wild animals, pitfalls, vipers, and all sorts of things. In addition, because they were far apart and hard to get to, people longed for the water that was there. It was nearly impossible to travel this route without some kind of hardship. Okay? Here are people who set their desire for God. I'm going to go worship in that place that I've experienced God before, and it is worth it for me to make this effort. That's what was in their heart. The Valley of Baca is an interesting one. The word Baca means literally tears. The Valley of Tears. Some people think that it was originally called that because of a certain kind of shrub that at a certain time of year would weep kind of a milky sap, and it thus became the Valley of Tears. But the Valley of Tears is something that you and I share and experience. There have been valleys that you have walked, that I have walked, and some of you have walked this valley well. My. It's a tough walk, the Valley of Tears. It tests us. And that's what's described here in Psalm 84. People knew how to build in their hearts. It's kind of a figurative way of talking about building a highway for God. And allowing God to help us in these valleys, where every mountain will be made low and every valley lifted up. Blessed are those who've learned the secret of going through the valleys and the mountains and the deserts of life with the God who is their strength. In verse 6, it says, as they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. Now, that's interesting, an interesting thing to me. I'm going to stop for a moment. In a valley, it says they, the people who are passing through, make it a place of springs. How would you do that? Human beings don't create springs unless they do something like this, I suppose. You dig a well. That's why these wells were placed every so often. Now let's think about the dynamic of the person, the worshiper, that's being described here. As they pass through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears, where they're tested sorely, they make it a place of springs. So many times in Scripture, we're told about people who've gone through tests that try their soul. And they come out of that experience with a solid sense of who God is, and that God is with them, that God cares about what they're going through, and God is helping them through the valley of tears. And whenever you see somebody walk that walk, I'm so impressed by it. It seems like something comes out of their life. It's like water. It's refreshing. Can you see why worship's important? That's where we get this kind of refreshment. To be able to go through the valleys of life, it doesn't mean we don't have difficulties. It means we have resources. Go through the valley of Baca. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. So there's a certain time of year that the valley of Baca would, you could actually find pools of water around. Why would he include this line? I think maybe it talks about two facets of something. The person who makes it a place of springs, well, that's when they open themselves up to the God who is their strength. And these rains that are talked about here are rains that God provides when you're in the valley of Baca at times too. Provision. So it's the human side making it a place of springs, the divine side providing the blessing by making it a place of autumn rains. Do you know what this is like? How it is, how wonderful it is when people who are refreshed in the presence of God, who dig deep in their spiritual resources, and they come out like gold. It is so refreshing to observe how God works in a person's life, and we need these reminders because we surely face our own difficulties as well. They go from strength to strength. Let's see. Well, we'll look at that in just a moment. Here's one I thought excellent line provided by someone as they reflected about the Valley of Baca. I did not choose the Valley of Baca, place of dryness, sadness, depression, place of tedious sameness. Yet without my choosing, life has a way of taking me there. I do not enjoy the valley of Baca. I have no desire to linger there or to revel in its desolation. Yet my Lord has promised to be with me all the way, even when I must pass through this valley. Because God is there, even in the valley of Baca, it can become to me a place of springs, refreshed, renewed, from strength to strength with Him. It leads us to verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Now, if you could picture again this well thing, they're traveling, they stop, they're parched, they're so thirsty, they draw up from this well, they get refreshed, rest a little bit, and then they go to the next well, okay? And by that time, they're thirsty again. Going from strength to strength is a kind of another picture of that. At this point in my journey, God showed himself to be a God who cares, a God of strength. I was endued with help from on high. I want to, as Cleone talked about, or played about, give God the glory. That's one place of strength. And then I moved to the next thing, the next adventure with God. To the next place where God shows himself strong and mighty on my behalf, we move from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. That's what it means to walk this walk with him. Would you join me in a word of prayer before we close with another psalm? Another song inspired by Psalm 84. Did you know I looked a quick look up on how many songs you can find related to this psalm? There are over 217 that I could find just like that. It's amazing what an inspirational thing God has given us in this psalm. Joseph's life would be an excellent example of this saint.
Excuse me for interrupting, but I just...
No, it's just perfect. It would be, it's a perfect example of what's being sung about here. Would you join me in prayer? And would you stand as we do? Someone will be along to pick up your friendship and worship cards, and then we'll close with a song. Well, thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We are so glad that this faith walk, has the sense of realism to it, that at times life feels like a valley of tears. We don't have to put on a good face, but we actually recognize it for what it is. This is a testing time that is extremely difficult, and one which demands your help. With you, we can go through the valley of tears, and we are so grateful for that. We worship you, that you're able to transform our difficult circumstances into something that's really a story about praise to you. In Christ's name, we give you thanks. Amen.